All hail the power of Jesus' name. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Ring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Ring forth the royal diadem and crown.
Brought a Bible this morning, turned the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Chapter 11 of Hebrews is known as the faith chapter. And Mary Boyle isn't here this morning. Anne, would you get somebody who can walk to hand me that? Lewis, help Anne, if you will. I'm going to show you something we got for Mary. And if you'll stand there, we'll give it back to you, Lewis. Thank you, sir. So we were going to give this to Mary. It says Mary's motor. Ann gets mad when I title them like that. Mary's motor. Said the Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's the stuff that motivates genius and makes a pauper a queen. It's the still small voice within that won't let you give up the fight. It's your trust in the Savior's promise that all will be all right. And that's for Mary Boyle. We'll make sure she gets that. And Ann does the pictures and the framing, and I do the writing. And we only charge $450 if you'd like to have one. So isn't that beautiful? So this morning we're preaching on faith, and we have Mary as a lady of faith. She's been told she's terminally ill. She holds her faith, and we'll look right at you and say, well, God will either heal me or he won't. I'll either be here or be home. What's the difference? And when you can think like that, you're all right. So I was so glad that she does that, and that's why we did this for her. And then we have, of course, Sylvia Hatchell here, and the whole nation knows what she went through with her cancer bout. And they also know her faith, and they also know she called on God, and she is not shy in a minute about telling you who she leans on and prays to. And she's good as she ever was sitting back there. And so I wore her shirt. Ann bought me that shirt last year. Miss Hatchell made the official Hall of Fame, not the local one at Fat Harold's. She made the national one with the big boys. I mean, how many girls in that thing, Sylvia? How many?
13.
The only 13 girls out of all the colleges, and you ride it to top. Bless your heart. Little girl from Gastonia. So I used to coach a little bit of basketball, you got to know some things. And bringing the ball in is not as easy as it looks when five other people are trying to keep you from it. And you have one or two little old plays, you know, to get the thing in, hope somebody can get loose. And I was looking at Sylvia's literature. She sends me what the college sends out every year. And I was looking through, and she's got a tape, a CD, nine plays to bring ball in. Nine. I said, gee, my ninny. Oh, wouldn't have helped us in high school. We couldn't count past five. We just run number four. But what a coach she has turned out to be, one of the best ever, and we're so proud of her. And Roy, too. I said, you got to get me in touch with Roy, Sylvia, because I want to tease him and say, Roy, could you sell me a calendar? You know, he used to sell those calendars and make $2,500 a year on the side coaching. Can you believe that? And now he's, like Sylvia, they got two of the best coaches in the nation right here and they're in our denomination. They said, "What do you mean by that?" I said, "Well, you're not from the South, are you?" And they said, "No." I said, "Basketball is a religion in the South, kind of like NASCAR." You know, go NASCAR. Yeah, I used to be a motivational speaker at NASCAR, but I got fired. What do you say after you say turn left? I mean, that's the end of it, isn't it? Yeah. And they finally caught me and quit paying me. Okay. All right, if you turn to chapter 11 in the book of Hebrews, that is the faith chapter known as, and we talk about faith when we talk about Sylvia and we talk about Mary Boyle, because I've heard some terrible, terrible preaching on what faith is. And the Bible says here, and we'll pray and then read it and expound the scriptures. If you bow your heads, a gracious and loving Heavenly Father, how good it is to allow us to be here. What a wonderful treat. We're not being burned this morning. We're not being shot at. We're not having rocks thrown at us. Our children aren't being cut in half by the Muslims. We are so glad that we have a Heavenly Father who cares, who protects and looks after us. And we know if we leave here, the Bible says, absent from body is present with the Lord for those who know Him. What wonderful news. Be with me as I preach this morning. Thank you for the honor and privilege of doing so. I never get over it that you'll let me handle your precious word and that we may be speaking to somebody who doesn't know you as Lord and Savior. And I pray by the end of this time that they too will bow their head and say, "I'm a sinner. I need to be saved by grace, Lord Jesus. Forgive my sins and come into my heart." It's all they have to do sincerely, and they will be saved too. Be with me as I preach. In Christ Jesus' name I pray, and for His sake, amen. Amen. So we find verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Does that clear it up for you? I mean, that's pretty heavy, isn't it? You really look at that two or three times, and I've heard more, as we call them, false prophets preach on faith than probably any other subject. I heard one before I could get the TV changed. He was going to preach on this verse, and says he was going to preach on now faith. Faith that you have now. He talked 20 minutes on now faith. Till I finally got laughing about it. That's not what the book is saying. It's just saying now faith is, and he's preaching on now faith. And I said, well, the problem with most people that you see who can't preach on television is they cannot read. And they don't understand the English language. And they get so confused trying to tell you what they don't know that at the end of it, everybody's confused. So we'll hope that doesn't happen here because I can read, all right? So now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Now I heard one of the most famous ones. We won't call any names because my wife gets mad when I do that and tells me I'm hateful. But one of the most famous of the faith preachers, he's saying, now see, faith is something. If you cut God open, faith would come out. Where this moron ever learned that, I don't know. First of all, God's a spirit. You can't even catch him, let alone cut him open. And if he did cut him open, you wouldn't find anything but righteousness. You'd not find faith. He doesn't need faith. He is the cause of faith. That ought to settle that for everybody on TV. Now, it is a substance, meaning that it is what makes faith go. It's the substance of things hoped for. We hope we'll get better from cancer. We don't know. Now, there's too many healers on TV. I believe in healing. God healed me of cancer and kept me from marrying some ugly girls when I was coming up. I really appreciated that. But the substance, I heard someone say, very famous healing preacher, saying, that's all you need. If you can have the substance of faith, you'll get well. cancer, whatever it is. Then when the man dies, they accuse him of it being his fault because he didn't have enough faith. Well, let me back up, moron, and help you a little bit, okay? If your faith can heal you, you don't need God. How's that? Okay? You don't need anything. If you can do it, what do you need him for? And if you don't have him, I don't care how much faith you got, that ain't gonna work for you. Faith doesn't heal. Faith comes and turns into belief. The word, they're pretty well interchangeable. Your faith is your belief. Now, as a kid or growing up, you find out maybe your daddy wants you to learn how to play golf. I remember my dad did take me to Parrish Mountain State Park there in Greenville. You girls know where that is. And they have a swimming pool, of course, as they do at all state parks, and a little pier. And way, way out there, when you about 8 years old, way out in the lake, I'd say a good 20 feet, you know, when you're little, that's a long way. And you got to swim out there and swim back. And my dad's going to swim beside me, and he's trying to teach me how to do it and what to do and all that. And so he asked the question, do you think you can do it? Because he knew and I knew it's no point in starting anything that you don't think you can do. Of course you're going to fail at it. You're going to try to fail at it. So if you believe you can do that, that will turn into confidence. And you see people, I see them on television, bless their heart, I'm not a hateful person, on Mondays, and they'll get on there and say, I saw one, and he said, now in 3 minutes, I'm going to release my faith to you. And I'm saying, well, have you got it jarred up or is it in a pen? How are you going to go about releasing your faith to me in 3 minutes? Unfortunately, at 11 o'clock at night, he came back on with the same film and was going to release it again. Now, which jar of faith was working, the 3 o'clock or the 11 o'clock? You and I both know neither. Can't release his faith. My faith won't do you any good. If I can exhibit my faith, if Sylvia can exhibit her faith, if Mary can exhibit her faith, and you see them and what they had to go through, the pain that they went through, and still maintain their love of God and still trusted in him, then they have believed he can do it. Doesn't mean he's going to. He can. That's where faith takes you, to the can do it stage. Now, when you get to the can do it stage and you believe a little bit more, one of them on TV keeps talking about, in fact, the name of his program is Increasing Faith. See? And that's true. You can increase because you can believe more, can't you? And the more you see, the more you believe. That's why you come to church. The Bible says, don't forget to assemble yourselves together, even the more so as you see the day approaching. And the day, believe me, is approaching. I've taught you the Lord's about to come, and some believe it and some don't. Most of the churches in our area are amillennialists. They don't believe it. Those that are saved, we're all going to be for a big surprise. And it's going to be better than that ride in Charlotte they just opened up. Just shoot, get out of here, see? And they will understand we're right. Well, why do you think you're right? Because I believe the Bible. I don't believe part of it. I believe it in its entirety. Well, what are the part that you don't understand? Film at 11. Right? You think God's not going to explain it to us when we get there? There'll be film at 11. I'm satisfied we'll see the Red Sea open on the big screen. I think we'll see the crucifixion and the resurrection. I think we'll see it all on the big screen. He said, I wrote you the letters. Did you fail to read them? No, I read them, sir, but some of them were really tough. He said, don't worry about it. Some of them said Paul was very hard to understand, and they worked with him. They said, well, Brother Paul gets tough, doesn't it? Yeah, Bible does too. You read that first sentence and you try to explain it to me. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The first part's harder than the second. I can understand evidence of things not seen. I've been coming down to Ocean Drive since 1953. We've had a couple of pretty nice hurricanes since then. Now, I didn't see the wind blow. You can't see the wind. But I saw the evidence that it had been here. All the houses were down. Water was reaching the red light out here, which 18 feet above the street. There was plenty of evidence that something big had happened that would blow things down. So that's the evidence of things not seen, isn't it? Do you believe in healing? Absolutely not. Is Sylvia not walking this morning? Mary Boyle not taking the little old man to church this morning, doing her duty? Am I not sitting here this morning? Many of you have been healed and told you were going to die and refused to do it and prayed that you wouldn't. Had no idea you were asking for the wrong thing. Don't you remember what Paul said? They're about ready to take me out of here. I'm going to be with the Lord, which is far better. But I have to stay here for you. We were talking before church, and he said, well, Lewis said something about the man he told you when he was singing, that before he was singing, but man didn't believe in hell. And I've turned into a smart aleck myself. You can spell it the other way if you like, but when somebody starts that with me, they say, well, I just can't believe in hell. I said, I can prove it's a hell. Well, how can you do that? I said, imagine me dying and you dying and me having to spend eternity in the same place you are. If that ain't hell, I don't know what is. Right? It's a hell, all right. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. For by it, before what? By faith. For by it the elders, that's the Old Testament prophets, obtained a good report. That means that they had God's approval for having faith in God. That was rewarded. Abraham's faith, you know, God called on Abraham one morning. Abe, how you doing? I said, hey, good morning to you. Yes, Lord. He said, I'm going to take you from your home where you grew up, where all your friends and family are, and I'm going to take you to a country that you do not know. You don't know where it is. You don't know anybody there. You don't know the culture or the customs, and I'm taking you there because I'm going to make something out of you. You going? Yes or no? Abraham did not say, I'll get back to you. He said, let's pack. Let's go. That's faith in God. That's full commitment in God, isn't it? There's a difference between a partial commitment and a full commitment. I remember the story of the pig and the chicken. They were walking down the street, and they saw King and Main Street. They got to a little restaurant, and it said, closing. And the chicken said, pig? That's Bob's place. And he said, I know. I've eaten in there many a time for years. He said, me too. It's the best place to eat in town. And he said, chicken said, you know, if he's closing, we need to go in there and make a contribution. It was a ham and egg restaurant, right? And the pig said, just a minute, chicken. You talking about a donation. I'm talking about full commitment. All right? And we have a lot of Christians who are willing to make a donation, but when it comes to full commitment, they want to back off some. I don't know. Who was telling me about the funeral you had to hold? Had to hold a few. I want the name. What is the name of that play? Barefoot what? Barefoot Members. I got the club part, but it. Members. All right, that's a terrible name. But anyhow, he goes to hold a funeral for his friend at the Barefoot Members Club, Homeowners Association in charge. By the way, that's how terrorism started. You do know that, don't you? With a Homeowners Association. And so he goes in to hold a wedding. Funeral, same thing. And he goes in to hold a funeral. And they tell him, well, you can hold the funeral, but you can't mention God. You can't mention Jesus. No praying. No reference to Christianity whatsoever. Now, that's not in New York City and Detroit. This is in North Myrtle Beach. See how far it's spread. They're committed to doing us in. They don't like Christians. It's not a not like. They hate us. The entire world hates us. The Bible says, and it's a scary phrase to read, Jesus said, will I even find the faith when I return to the earth? I mean, people falling out left and right, quitting. Most of your churches in South Carolina do not preach this book anymore. Very few will give an invitation for someone to accept Christ as Savior after their service. If you're going to hold a service, then just give the invitation and go on home. Don't leave it out. Sermon ain't going to help anybody without an invitation. No use to having a nice dinner if you can't open the door and let people in, is it? And if you're not going to preach Christ and Him crucified and Him paying for your sins, and that is the only way to heaven, what is it you're going to preach? That's why a lot of grown men who formerly attended church with their family have decided it's more interesting to play golf on Sunday. Not hearing anything. You can't fool good businessmen. They're smart. They know. And you bore them and don't have any news for them. And you don't preach something that touches their heart because the Spirit of God takes what you say and puts it in them. Then you're not preaching. You're just flapping your lips. Taking care of that salary and car allowance and retirement plan. And let's not upset the deacons. That's why we don't have any deacons. We had one. I don't know where he went. It got to be where the deacons thought that every Sunday you eat roast preacher. Go home and talk about all the mistakes. I was preaching at a local church down in Socotee. I'd been saved at my daddy's tent meeting when he was 12 years old. Brother Weeks opened a Christian school, a church down there, and Ann and I had a little Scott going to, he read to go to school, and I went in there and asked, I said, honey, I've seen a little church up here, and they've got a Christian school, let's go talk about it. So we went, and they were kind, and the little old man came up and said, hey, I'm Bob Weeks. I said, I'm Beaver Greenway, this is Ann. He said, Greenway, do you happen to know Dr. W. Norman Greenway? And I opened the Bible, my other one. I said, him? He said, yeah. I said, I know him pretty good. He said, well, I'm crowded up here with the school and the church. They're driving me crazy. Is there any way you'd come preach for me a couple of weekends? Just give me a break. And so I did for 3.5 years. And we preached the gospel down there. And we had some people. We ran a few off like we did here. And had a few more come, though, like we did here. See? But if you preach the truth, it's going to make some people mad. They don't want to hear it. Because you see everybody sitting around them sin, but they didn't. Right? They didn't. They didn't hear. Holy, righteous, and right up next to Jesus. That's, be careful who you talk to in here. They may be that one. No, they're not here. Everybody here is a sinner that once was lost, may still be if you're not saved, and you're in a precarious position that can take you to the real hell. Well, I don't like a hellfire and damnation preaches, then quit following Jesus. You better read the book again, if you ever read it. and find out what he's talking about and what it is. I said, well, you're just going to scare people. I said, not like you scare me. I got to look at you for an hour of a Sunday, right in the face, okay? The elders, don't you love the elders? What about what they had to go through? I mean, can you imagine being in a land where you start following somebody and there's 12 of you and one of them's a liar? The Romans are trying to kill you. The Jews are trying to kill you. Nobody else like you. And there you go. What are we doing, Jesus? We're going to take over the world. Just follow me. Do what? Just follow me. Okay. Has he done it? Is the word not around the world right now? Around the world. You want to say, well, I just can't believe in miracles. Then you're a moron because you're sitting in the biggest one that ever occurred. Where do you think the world came from? It was made out of nothing. Even Julie Andrews sang about that, right? Nothing can't come from nothing. Nothing ever could. You've heard the song. Right? She understood. Why can't the scientists understand? I told somebody, I'm going to write Hannity. You've been watching Hannity the last week or two? And he's been showing the beach down there in Florida and what's going on down there. And he's really all upset and all that. And I said, I'm going to send him a letter. And I said, I don't want to have a little paragraph on you. End of your program. I'm not looking for that, and I don't care if anybody knows my name. I just want to inform you and all those important people you are talking to about what's really happening down there and why, because y'all can't figure it out. What's happening is you've taken two generations of our children and told them they came from monkeys, that they don't have a soul, that there is no God, there's not going to be a judgment. Sin is just a matter of your opinion. You like chocolate, I like vanilla. And, you know, you should do anything you want to because it doesn't matter anyway. Now you're seeing the result of it on your beach and you're wondering why. Guess why? I knew when I was 10 years old, do some of that stuff, God would get you. And if he didn't, he had a messenger with a belt with my name on it that would say, I know you busy, Lord, I'll handle this one. Gee, my ninny. Well, that's child abuse. Yes, it was. Mm-hmm. It also helped me learn to cover that 84 feet on the ball court, Miss Hatchell, real quick. I mean, I could run for a fat man. I wasn't fat then. I ain't fat now. I'm just healthy. I laugh. I was up at Ella's yesterday. I was eating up there. Sat down. There's some good old boys at the table. I mean, some of them good old rednecks, you know. And they were all overweight and ordering more food than we all needed and laughing. And I sat down next to them, and the waitress said, what you going to have, Beaver? The regular? I generally get that flounder and shrimp special. If you've been up there, you know what it is. 90% grease, 10% fat, 10% fish. And I said, I'm going to have to get off this grease. Ann said, you're not to eat so much grease. So I got me a salad with boiled shrimp in it today. I thought that was good. And the waitress said, well, why are you ordering that? I said, I'm trying to get down to 300. Mind your own business. Right? Smart Alex, everywhere. Okay. Through faith. I want all the scientists now to listen. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Is that clear enough for you? God made everything out of nothing. And you can't do that. And the scientists who have found it out still won't admit it. They call it the Big Bang. Right? I got one question for them. It's not too deep. Listen carefully. What banged? Something had to bang, didn't it? If something banged, there had to be a banger. The banger is God. He banged everything by His Word. Well, I don't understand that. Well, a lead on a yellow pencil has you confused. You don't have that in there, do you? Everybody in here that don't know how you lead gets in a yellow pencil, raise your hand. Raise your hand. I know you do not know that. You see that? Look at that. Right? I get all kind of answers where they melt it and then they pour it down. No, they don't. Well, how do they do it? I'm not telling you. I know. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. You think words don't matter? When God said, bring a blood sacrifice, He didn't say, bring a tomato. He didn't say, bring okra. Bring corn. Man, listen. Abel offered God a blood sacrifice. That was a type of Christ shedding His blood for you. That was the sacrifice that covered the sin of the world, that took it away, that continually takes your sin away. How do you think now that you're saved and still sinning, by the way, just like me, how do you think those sins get forgiven? You think the blood of Christ is not still in operation? Of course it is. All right? And Cain said, well, I tell you now, God's gonna know something when I bring these tomatoes up there. And he brought some cantaloupe and tomatoes and some okra and some green beans and stuff, and had it all set up like they do at the county fair. You know how beautiful they do down at the vegetable shed. And they're looking good, and he said, this ought to get it. Wait till God sees this. He'll know something. And God said, what's this? He said, well, that's my best corn. That's my best okra. That's for the best collards. He said, did I ask you for that? He said, no. He said, what did I ask for? He said, well, you asked for blood, but I thought nobody asked you what you thought. This is a mistake of most people who won't get saved because they say, well, I know what that says, but I doubt that you do. I doubt that you can. If you missed the first four words of the Bible, you missed it all. You don't need to go any further. However, if you know the first four words and believe that, you can believe anything else that comes up. Amen. In the beginning, God. No limitation in any direction. None whatsoever. Anything that follows is secondary. You through reading. If you just read that and said, well, I want to be with Him. I want to know Him. You in. You all right. It's the doubters that don't get to go anywhere. The well you sees. Right? It's Presbyterians, Methodists, Catholics, all Baptists and all. And Pharisees and the Sadducees. Worst of the group is the well you sees. You sit there and point out the scripture. This is a book written by the Lord God Almighty. It is the Word of God. It's exactly what He would tell you if He was sitting beside you today and tried to explain it to you. This is what you would hear, and you're going to say, well, I understand, but will you see what? You don't have... famous saying, beaverism, right? There is no news for the King of the Jews. Have you got that?
Amen.
He's omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent. He knows everything. He knows it before it happens. He knows it before you said it. And He knows where you were last night. Quit trying to smile and look so nice in here. Right? Adam. First idiot born, tried to hide from God in the bushes. Really? That's what God told him. Adam, where are you? Adam, I'm calling you. Where are you? Like God didn't know where he was. Where are you, Adam? Well, you know, I'm over here. What happened? That woman you gave me, right? Pass that book. Right, here he is. A guy married the most beautiful woman in the world. Had to be. She's the only one. All right. Lying to God, blaming him. All right. I heard Jack Hudson. I used to love Jack Hudson. He would Lord now. Jack said, aren't you glad that God made women? If he had left it up to Adam, he'd have made a fishing buddy. Right? That it be. My goodness. Isn't the Bible good? By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, counted it for righteousness. When Abraham got saved 400 years before the law, Bible says his righteousness was counted, his faith was counted as righteousness. He believed. That's why we tell you, and when we say, will you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? That doesn't mean did you believe he existed. That means if you committed your life to him, not partially, but all the way. Say, Lord, I'm yours. I was supposed to die when I was little. Certainly disappointed a lot of people, but there I was. I had pleurostenosis. Any of you medical folks here knows what that is. Your stomach's upside down, and you can't accept food. You can't eat. I still have a little mark where they hypodermic me for food. That's how I stayed alive for a year and got carried around on a little silk pillow. There I was, see, and supposed to die. And they called my daddy and mom in and said, Dr. Greenway, you and Muriel have a beautiful son at home, my brother. Right, that's what he's talking about. He said, you have Bill at home? I said, I know. I delivered him, and I've seen him grow. I take care of him. But this one ain't going to make it. And Dr. Greenway, with your fame around this area, the little fella's going to die. And you're going to get hundreds, if not thousands, of cards and letters and telegrams and all people telling you how sorry they were. But it'll be a week or two after he's gone, and it's only going to bring more sorrow. If you got a beautiful kid at home, go home, raise him, and just forget about this one. If you want another one, you know how to get them. So that was the professional advice. And there was five doctors in the room. My daddy said, you through? You understand how I get a little short with people, don't you? Got it from my father. He'd waste a lot of time with you. Thank you, Trixler. Donnie brings that sign. My daddy said, are y'all through? And they, well, I guess so. He said, you excused? He run the doctor out of his own office. You all go in the front. Turn me over. Said, Lord Jesus, he's yours. You want him now? I'll take him. You leave him with us, we'll raise him in the faith. Your choice. Do what you will. That didn't work out too good for about 50 years. Right, the chances of me being a preacher were slim and minus none. I mean, my brother should. My brother went to Bob Jones, a friend of ours back there went to Bob Jones. Straight A's and everything he ever did, right? If he had a church service, he was the man. If he had Sunday school, he was the leader. I mean, you know, I got so sick of him, I didn't know what to do. There I am. Having to bring you had to bring your report card home. You remember how that was. And you had to show it to your folks, and they had to sign it. And that was about four difficult periods of the year, trying to get my report card signed without letting my daddy know what it was. Finally, I convinced him that D meant I was doing it. So He'd sign it real quick, and my mama was kind. She wouldn't tell him, and here we go. But I wasn't supposed to be the preacher. My brother was. See, I barely got out of high school, college, and jail. You know? And known as the other one. Me and my brother. I was the little one. I was known as the other one. And I'd see it going to school. Grammar school, you went 6th grades. Then you go to junior high. We used to have it 7th, 8th, and 9th. And I go to 6th grade. My brother's already through. And I'm getting ready junior high. And one of the teachers said to the other one, "Mary, I understand that you got the little Greenway boy coming for the next year." And she said, "Oh, yeah, I think I do." She said, "Well, he's wonderful. He makes straight A's. He'll lead your class in prayer. You'll be so glad that this kid's in your class, you won't know what to do." And she said, "What's his name again?" And she said, "Billy." And the teacher said, "No, I've got the other one." Okay. So there I go. All right, junior high. Time to go to high school. Right. I see you got the little Greenway boy. Yeah. He's been a wonderful student here. Straight A's, no trouble. I mean, you can count on him. What's his name? Billy. Billy Greenway. Everybody knows Billy. No, I have the other one. Time to go to college. My daddy thought Bob Jones was the only college. He was on the radio out there for 20 years, and we knew the Jones family, and, you know, when my daddy wasn't preaching, and I wasn't at Tabernacle Baptist yet, I'd go to Bob Jones and see all these wonderful speakers. I heard wonderful preachers coming up. And I remember getting ready to go to college myself, and we see Dr. Jones across the campus. My daddy's going to make tapes on the radio program. He'd go make 4 or 5 sermons, and I'd go with him and watch him do that. And he's waving. It wasn't Dr. Jones, Dr. Edwards, redheaded Dr. Edwards. "Dr. Edwards, good to see you." He said, "Hey, Norman, you're good to see you." He said, "My son's coming out to be with you this year." My daddy thought, right? He had no idea what my grades would do trying to get in Bob Jones. And he said, "Oh, well, that'll be good. You know, we've enjoyed Billy being here, and this will be his senior year, won't it?" He said, "Dr. Edwards, it's not Billy. Billy's going to graduate this year. It's the other one." So there I am, the other one. So I said, "These people from Greenville come down here 60 years later, right? And they come in here, they for SOS and everything, and they hear what's going on over here, and they get back to Greenville. And they start talking to friends." You know how you do if you have a friend. You talk to your friends. And guess what's happening at the beach? What? SOS? Yeah. Guess what else is happening at the beach? What? Greenway is down there preaching at the pavilion. Sometimes 300 and 400 people are there every Sunday. On webcam, goes around the world. And it's something to behold. And they said, "Well, I knew Billy would follow in his daddy's footsteps." And they have to shake their heads and say, "No, it's the other one." Right. So I'll meet Miss Ann to get married for 3 years. She thought my name was the other one. But I'm so glad that I did finally straighten up and find out what was going on. And I had been listening to my daddy. And I listened to Dr. Jones, and I listened to the great preachers who came out there during the preaching conferences. And I've eaten chicken with John R. Rice in two countries here in Canada. And I knew something. And when it came to studying the Bible and learning the doctrines, I said, I already know this. I've heard this all my life. I have faith. I have belief. I not only have that, I am confident in my belief. I can defend my faith with anybody, atheist or whatever. I can take care of what I know, and I can hear my daddy's voice now saying, son, when you know that you know that you know, you know. And I said, all right, I know. I know. And if you got a question as to whether there's a God, I'll spend some time with you. If you got a question, if there's a hell, I'll let you know there's one, show you some people who are there. If you stand around a little bit, I'll point to some that are going. That's right. SOS, few of them get over here by mistake a couple of times a year. See? They hate that they come. The reason people hate it, not everybody does, you enjoying yourself, I hope. Folks will come in here just curiosity, try to find out, you know, well, what in the world's going on? Come to the beach to get drunk, this guy down there preaching. And then, you know. And so they come in here and they hear, do you know it's a dangerous thing to enter these doors Sunday morning? See? Dangerous thing. You're gonna find out you lost, and if you die in that condition, you're going to a hell forever. Good news is there's a Savior who died in your place and paid the price for your sin, and you can live with him forever. Your choice, but once you hear it, you can never again say, I don't know about that. So your excuse is gone. There's one Lord. There is one faith. There is one baptism. The Lord is Jehovah, Yahweh. Right? The faith is the Christian faith, following the Son of God. The baptism is the real baptism of the Holy Spirit. When you accept Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit of God baptizes you into the family of God, and nobody can take you out. Amen?
Amen.
See? What good news? What better news could there be? Aren't you glad you came this morning? If you're one here who doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior, isn't it about time to stop that foolishness? Who do you think made the world? Where do you think the water came from? See, I love the little things. Where's our fisherman in here, Brother Barry, in here this morning. He, Barry Seafood, he knows all about seafood and cooking and all that. And I said, Brother Barry, what you fry flounder at? He hadn't cooked but a million to 350 degrees. I said, what if you fry him at 500? He said, fry him at 500, a fish? It won't be crisp, it'll be charcoal. I said, thank you. I just saw on the History Channel, they got a little submarine that goes way down in that ocean, about 7 miles deep. And at the bottom, they found out there's hot water coming out, heat vents into the ocean. And little fish swimming around in it, just having the best time at 550 degrees. How do it know? How do you do that? Science doesn't have the answer. I appreciate scientists. How could we get by without plastic? Right? But friend, there's a lot we don't know. And what we don't know, He does. And what we can't answer, He can. Our job is to take our faith, turn it into severe belief. And belief will teach you that you can. You can do it. My daddy was teaching me to swim. I said, well, I think I can. Don't get in the water. Finally said, Daddy, I think I can make it if you'll swim along with me. I'll swim along with you. I'm in. Now my faith is turned to belief. I'll attempt to do something. All right. But as soon as I touched that pier over there and I wasn't dead, my belief turned to confidence. And I said, let's do it again, Daddy. Next week, you don't even have to come. I'll do it by myself. I've learned how. I've got faith I can do it. I believe I can do it. And I can do it. And been doing it ever since. That's what happens here. That's why we tell you to read your Bible. That's why we tell you to preach. That's why we tell you to come to church. You got a problem? I may not mention it, but the fact that you were in the presence of the Lord God Almighty and He's here, where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm there, the Lord Jesus Christ said. He's here. He knows your problem. He knows what's happening, and He'll give you the answer if you don't remember one word I say. That's why you come to church. That's faith, belief, and that's confidence. I'm not scared of the terrorist. They better be scared of my heavenly Father. Amen. You think you see in terror now? Get you a glimpse of hell, Bobo. We'll show you what terror is. You'll know. See? So if you're not saved, as we sing today, you commit your life to Christ if you've never done that. Simply say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. No use to get out the list. It's too long. I just want it forgiven, and I believe you died on the cross to save me from sin. As a matter of fact, I not only have that much faith, I believe that had I been the only sinner there had ever been, that you'd have still come. You'd have still died just for me. Boy, that's confidence, isn't it? We want you in that slot. So if you're not there, get that today and join the happy family. Didn't say join a church. Said join a happy family of believers. Because we know that we know that we know. Shall we pray? Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, how good it is to be in your presence, to know you're among us. Can't see you. I can feel you. I know when I can't get a thought in my head and the paper is blank at night and I have to preach to 300 or 400 people and I don't know how many watch my webcam, but I know it's a position of fear because I have to give an account to you for what I preach. Lives who sit and listen to me, their eternal destiny can ride on what I say or forget to say. But I have confidence that you, as I always ask you on Saturday night, guide my reins in the night season. Help me remember that which I know. Add to my thinking that which I don't know. Anything you would have said, please let me say it. That above all, if there's one listening who knows you not as Savior, that the day will be the day that they get eternal life. Thank you for your kindness and your goodness. Be with those who are sick among us. Help us to continue to do thy will, and against all odds, keep the faith. In Christ Jesus' name I pray, and for his holy sake, amen.
If you could see what I once was, if you could go with me back. started from, then I know you would see a miracle of love that took me in its sweet embrace and made me what I am today. Just an old sinner saved by grace. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. When I stood condemned to death, sinner.